for me to come in, oh my love.
Why are men great till they gotta be great? Woo. I just took a DNA test, turns out I'm 100% that bitch. Even when I'm crying crazy, yeah, I got boy problems, that's the human in me. Bling, bling, then I solve them, that's the goddess in
you
me.
You could've had a bad bitch, not committal. Help you with your career, just a little.
You supposed to hold me down, but you holding me back. And that's the sound of me not calling you back. Why are men great till they gotta be great? Don't text me, tell it straight to my face. Best friend set me down in the salon chair. Shampoo press, get you out of my hair. Fresh photos with the bomb lighting. New man on the Minnesota Vikings. True hurts needed something more exciting. Bum bum be dum be dum bum be.
You tried to break my heart, oh that breaks my heart. That you thought you ever had it, no you ain't from the start. Hey, I'm glad you're back with your bitch. I mean, who would wanna hide this? I will never, ever, 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 ever be your side chick. I put the singing single, ain't worried about a ring on my finger. So you can tell your friend, shoot your shot when you see him. It's okay, he already in my DM.
Why are men great till they gotta be great? Don't text me, tell it straight to my face. Best friend set me down in the salon chair. Shampoo press, get you out of my hair. Fresh photos with the bomb lighting. New man on the Minnesota Vikings. True hurts needed something more exciting. Bum bum be dum be dum bum be.
I'ma hit you back in a minute. Tag, bitch, y'all been there. We don't fuck with lies, we don't do goodbyes. We just keep it pushing like, aye, aye, aye. I'ma hit you back in a minute. I don't play tag, bitch, y'all been there. We don't fuck with lies, we don't do goodbyes. We just keep it pushing like, aye, aye, aye.
Why are men great till they gotta be great? Don't text me, tell it straight to my face. Best friend set me down in the salon chair. Shampoo press, get you out of my hair. Fresh photos with the bomb lighting. New man on the Minnesota Vikings. True hurts needed something more exciting. Bum bum be dum be dum bum.
Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Jessica and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm struggling with my mic.
Well,
as we close out 2019.
Close out the decade the way we started it. Struggling. We are TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. Mm-hmm. Did I already say that? I don't remember. And we are counting down our top five shows of 2019.
You know, this is always one of my favorite shows each year. And I don't know why, because I'm always like, everything's terrible. I hated everything. Nothing good was on. And then like, when it comes time for me to make my list, I'm always like, my sweet babies, how can I choose? I can't choose between all the good content.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that like some good things happened in 2019.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of a hard year, but San Francisco got Detroit style pizza.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the rest was all TV.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Those two things.
Yeah.
We went to Vancouver and ate our weight in poutine. That was a real
good
highlight for
yeah
me.
Mm-hmm. Same. Any other 2019 memories you want to share before we get
also
to the
on that same thing? I sampled ice wine in Canada.
So everything good was pizza
had
in Canada.
I had some champagne on top of the Eiffel Tower on my birthday.
Oh, really?
I had a delightful trip to London with my family. Lots of good things happened.
Good.
But most of it was bad.
All right. Should we hop in? Do you want to start?
Oh, God. It's
your
so
number
tough
five
so
show of the year.
Yeah. So as I said, I had my list and now I'm looking back and I have like two number fives because I couldn't change. But I'm only going to give you one. I'm going to make the hard decision here on the air.
Okay.
Number five for me this year, Russian Doll.
Okay.
That started early in the year. That mm-hmm. aired in January and really started the year out strong. It was like a new show, totally interesting. I can't wait for Natasha Lyonne and her like raspy voice to mm-hmm. come back. There's kind of a theme in a lot of the shows that I picked. This show is kind of about like destiny, about fate, about reaching out to other people, about mm-hmm. connection. Maybe it's just about Natasha Lyonne's struggles with addiction. I don't know. But I felt like it was really interesting. Just one of those shows that I was like, what is going to happen next?
Yeah.
And I was super into it. And every time that song started up yeah. and every time her friend said, "Sweet birthday, baby." it was great. It was really, really great.
I loved it too. Yeah. I thought there was just so much going on with that show. It felt like a really strong way to kick off the year.
Yeah.
Sort of like really thought outside the bounds of what television can be, I thought.
Yeah. It was visually really beautiful as mm-hmm. well. It was like that like iconic scene of her in the bathroom with like that amazing wallpaper and yeah. like the beautiful lighting around her. Like,
yeah.
Auburn
made
locks.
New York look really romantic.
It had like these mystical divine elements mm-hmm. and it just had this like very pedestrian annoyed Natasha Lyonne character that was great. And I thought it was really wonderful. And I'm just gonna go on record as saying, Natasha, if you ever want to break up with Fred Armisen, I'm here for you, girl.
Shit, I always forget that. Fred Armisen really gets around.
What?
Let's not talk about him.
Yeah. What's your number five?
Okay, I'm really curious about how much overlap is going to be. On if it's 100% or not. My number five was Fleabag, which I suspect is going to make a second appearance on this show. But speaking about like, you know, changing what television can be. That mm-hmm. show was so creative. The idea that Phoebe Waller-Bridge could create this character that is self-destructive and kind of self-centered mm-hmm. and still make her like really sympathetic, mm-hmm. even though she's also really tall and really beautiful, which no thanks.
Yeah.
it was just amazing. It really, a friend of mine said this, but I'll just steal her analysis, but it like, it feels like the show ended what breaking the fourth wall could be. Like, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
She got it right and she turned a TV trope on its head and made it fresh and interesting.
Yeah.
And
unleashed Hot Priest on the world.
Yeah. I mean, Hot Priest and a cavalcade of fascinating characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, you know, we've talked about all the time these British shows that, convey a story in very concise ways mm-hmm. and introduce characters that can seem quirky and one-dimensional but end up even more interesting than you could have imagined.
Yeah.
Fleabag really, really did that.
Yep. Yep. Unleashed, as I said, Hot Priest on the world.
Yeah.
Another highlight of my London trip, I went to see Andrew Scott in London.
You really got around this year.
On the stage.
You were kind of on a little
on the Old Vic
TV tour.
At the Old Vic. I this also saw Adam Driver. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so see, it wasn't all bad.
Yeah.
Fleabag, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Okay.
Big fan.
All right, your number four?
Okay, my number four was Derry Girls.
Really?
Yeah. And Derry Girls was kind of an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Not truly an afterthought, but again, when I was thinking about like things that just brought me like joy mm-hmm. or things that I really, really looked forward to watching, I was so excited for the second season of Derry Girls, and I think that show is absolutely hilarious. I think it's like the amount of crazy, witty, funny one-liners that they pack into it is amazing. But there's also like all this like pathos and like the universality of like being a teen and set against this like truly troubled backdrop, but like none of that matters when you're a teen because all you care about is like who's going to be at what party and doing Rock the Boat at a wedding. Like, and I just, it it just tapped into like that childhood feeling of like forming these really deep friendships and like how much your crew, like when you're a teen, means to you. And we're all Dairy Girls now, James. We're all Dairy Girls. I just loved it. I think the acting is amazing. It
taught me a lot about Northern Irish slang.
Yeah.
I still can't quite figure out how to use it in a sentence.
Yeah. I just thought it was just a sheer delight. And it was hilarious.
It was so funny.
The episode that starts at a wedding and ends at a funeral with them passing around scones that have pot baked into them because they didn't know how to make brownies in Northern Ireland is one of the funniest like 30 minutes I've ever seen. I think that episode has like laughs literally the whole way through. Yeah. I mean, the mother going on a rant about wheelie bins was like just against the backdrop of they're watching TV and it's about the troubles in the north and like the longing for peace. And then like she's just like, I just can't live with not knowing, like one day it's on, one day it's not. And then she's like, Rathbun has, you know, or Strabane has wheelie bins now. Who's pulling strings for Strabane, Jerry? Just like all these stupid. It's so good. And I look forward to season 3.
Yeah. Is there going to be a season 3? Do we know?
There is going to be a season 3. They are, they're currently not shooting, but it'll probably be here in like 2021 because, you know, all British things take their time.
Currently, my expiration date is Bill and Ted 3 that comes out August next year.
I can't wait.
After that, I need something to keep me going.
Yeah, I'm
Bruno Mars, if you wanted to do another tour, that'd be great.
I am on the edge of my seat for Little Women, and then after that, yes, Bill and Ted. That's a, like, do we go to the theater at midnight the night before to stand
there? Oh, I'm seeing that on opening day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, where are we? My number four is Succession, which I just continue to be mystified even more this season by how a show about these rich assholes joylessly ruining the world in their joylessly decorated palatial spaces is so enjoyable and so emotionally affecting. I have struggled for, we've talked about Succession twice, and it is hard to put into words like why I'm so moved by these people, but it's such, the writing is so amazing.
The acting is
incredible. Yep. Jeremy Strong is heartbreaking to watch. Brian Cox is fucking terrifying. And watching him pit his pathetic children against each other is great.
Yeah, right? It's so satisfying.
Yeah. I don't know who has more crackling sexual chemistry, if it is Jerry and Roman or Tom and Greg, but
Tom and Greg.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, the best kind of show, I think, is a drama that really affects you emotionally and then, like, also manages to be hilarious, and that show does this. Like, Cousin Greg is the best character.
Yes, Cousin Greg, all 12 feet of him.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I just loved watching them. There's something, like, both off-putting about the aesthetics. Like, everything is so sterile and, like, perfectly, like, conveys their wealth
and monochromatic and like perfectly
and yet
bland.
I can't say it's aspirational. Like, I don't want anything except the black mega yacht.
Yeah. A fleet of helicopters and a mega yacht, I think.
Yeah,
I'm on record as wanting
both. Yeah, very
of
much
those
so
things.
But yeah, I just can't get enough of that show.
Yeah. One of the things that's interesting about Succession too is it's like a weekly show, and I feel like, given my very, very narrowed attention span, that was something that, like, I watched sort of in real time as it happened, like, on a week-to-week basis. And
which is rarer now.
Yeah, and I think that's a really, like, strong, you know, that makes a strong case for a show if you're like, oh, tonight's Succession night. That was my, like, every Sunday.
Yeah, it's appointment TV. I feel like there's very little of that in my life. I feel like everything for the last few years that I've been excited about is the thing that ends up fizzling for me. But yeah, that show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
While you talk, I'm going to get up and get my computer thing, so don't get distracted. But yeah, you're number three.
Okay. My number three was Barry, featuring hot Bill Hader. I think everybody's clear that he's hot now. It's like, it's not even a question, right? And again, kind of dealing with these like issues of like sort of fate or destiny, or can you change who you are or who you've become, like the choices that lead up to you. Like, and also it's hilarious. It has NoHo Hank. It has,
oh my God,
Henry Winkler as Jean Cousineau. It's so amazing. Like, we've talked before about how like the very concept of that show about this person like becoming an actor to try to get in touch with like some truth and like putting on these different personas because he's so completely detached from his own kind of humanity and like who he is. And it's just, yeah, it continues to be really like also appointment TV for me, like really interesting, really funny. Like the messaging is so sort of like deep for this kind of, you know, cavalier type subject. And you know, people are all caught up in their own shit and people will like believe what they want to see. And there's a whole arc this season about like selling out your art, like your truth, and selling out
what is
for like
truth.
Art. And like, and it's just, it's so good. Yeah. Every episode, that episode with the feral kid was,
oh my God,
hilarious and terrifying and weird and interesting. And I just,
harrowing.
Think, yeah.
The scene where he is in the car with Fuchs and, he has a huge cut or something on his
back. Stabbed. Yeah, that's right.
Stabbed. And it's this like action-filled episode that feels like an action sequence, a very extended action sequence. Mm-hmm. And then he's in the car bleeding and he says, I'm kind of freaking out. And that moment of vulnerability was so harrowing. And like, it was just, God, it's such a good show.
Yeah, Bill Hader is so, just his range is outstanding. Like, he's that moment
who would've guessed?
Seriously, that moment where he went like super dark on stage and like went to grab her and was like acting. Mm-hmm. Like, he's so good.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I've said it a million times, but I'm always impressed by when shows that are like about acting somehow can really convey the difference between good acting and bad acting. It's really, I find it's really affects me.
Yeah. What's your number three?
My number three is Euphoria, which was kind of a surprise for me. I truly did not know what to expect going into that show because
I thought it was a supernatural show from the promos.
Yeah, it's so stylized and like, I thought it was some sort of exactly superhero show or something. But no, it's just about teens doing drugs and like getting their lives ruined every couple of days. But it was really beautiful. It was extremely harrowing. Like, it was a really sad show.
Yeah.
Just about how fraught it is to be a teenager. And I thought it did an amazing job of kind of, like, conveying the trauma that teens are born into now. It opens with her being born during 9/11. And it sort of uses that as a symbol for a traumatized generation. And it doesn't like invoke, you know, environmental apocalypse, which is something that's on my mind all the time. But I think that sort of hangs over the show.
Yeah.
Just the sort of reckless behavior that everyone engages in now. It feels like a generation barreling toward extinction.
Yeah, it's very nihilistic,
right?
In,
but
like,
also
a beautiful
way. Yet it's still like joyful and beautiful. Like the colors. There's a Halloween episode that's so fun and beautiful. The carnival is extremely beautiful, and they go to prom, and everyone looks beautiful.
And
the makeup,
and
the style, and it still shows like these teenagers like having fun together and like forging friendships and falling in love, and it was. Yeah, beautiful. And the only time, like, I cry during television pretty regularly, but the ending of that show, I burst into tears, like just abject sobbing on my couch. And I was like, what is happening? Who am I?
It was really, really beautiful and very, it's one of those shows that really sort of like snuck up on me. I, and stayed with me. long after I saw it. And I do think it conveys a different tonality to like teen shows that we're used to seeing. And yeah, like there is a definite undercurrent of like trauma and hardship that, yeah, is really, really well done. And some amazing breakout stars in that show. All those, Zendaya was in my dream last night, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She came to you to inform you on your top five of the year.
She was in my dream last night.
You always have celebrity dreams.
Oh, this was a very arcane sort of celebrity dream where I was talking to her about how she, I was talking to somebody else about how Zendaya was in Clueless, and they were like, that was 20 years ago. Like, Zendaya wasn't even born yet. And I was like, no, she, and I went back and like showed the tape, and it was this whole kind of thing about how like, Zendaya is kind of mystical. Like, she transcends generations. Like, she feels important to every generation. Uh-huh. And I think she's outstanding. I thought Hunter Schafer was amazing. Okay. That girl that plays Kat, Barbie Ferrara, was outstanding.
Angus Cloud. Gifted us Angus Cloud. Yes. And the kid who plays Ashtray.
Yeah, and also it made me realize that Sam Levinson is not the guy from Freaks and Geeks, so that's good.
Wait, who was he? Who's Sam Levinson?
I thought it was Sam Levine. That's who I thought created Euphoria.
Oh, Sam Levinson created. Oh.
And it turns out it was Sam Levinson. Guy. So I was very surprised the whole way through. I was like, I just didn't really see that from this guy. Right. Like, I didn't know he had this like insane drug, you know, thing. But I agree. I thought that was a really, really beautiful show.
Yeah. The only thing I would like to unsee is a sex scene between Eric Dane and a teenager,
Dane's melted propane face. Ugh, no, thank you. Okay.
Yeah,
what's your number? Oh, that was your number three?
That was my number three.
Do you have anything else to say about Euphoria?
I mean, probably, but
okay. Number two, my number two this year, Succession.
I think we're gonna have 80% overlap.
Yeah, I am, as much as I can give a shit about anything in these troubled times, I am baffled that Jeremy Strong was not nominated for anything for his performance this season.
Was he nominated for the first season?
I don't know, but he wasn't nominated for this season. And
well,
this season
still to come, right? Hinged. All we have is Golden Globes so far.
I know, but he wasn't nominated for a Golden Globe.
Well,
and that is
Golden Globes. Did you know that the Hollywood foreign press is like 67 people?
Literally. Yeah, they're all old Frenchmen. Right. But anyway,
I'm just saying, like, that really made me realize the Golden Globes are trash.
Oh, yeah. His performance, what that man can do with his face to just show this abject, like, crushing soullessness is amazing. And the last episode was, I mean, it's so, so good. It, as you said, made me covet a mega yacht. And
fuck the helicopters.
And is indirectly responsible for my husband and I now fucking going back and watching all 8,000 seasons of Below Deck, which we're now totally hooked on.
Really?
The Bravo TV. Yeah, I'm like, super yachts. I'm into super yachts. And then
was that about the crew of
it's a reality show on
I've
reality.
I've heard good things about that.
Oh my God, it's so good. Jess.
Really?
I'm so into it. So into it. It's so great.
All right, I'm going to have to check this
so
out.
So great. I mean, it's terrible in the way that all these Bravo reality shows are, but it's so consumable.
Okay.
Captain Lee, terrifying. Kate, mean girl. She's the best. I love her. It's great. Like, the cast rotates. They all hook up. The best episode every season is them going out after the charters leave. And like, these people who charter these yachts are assholes uniformly, as you can imagine. And it's great, but I digress. but yeah, Succession, I thought that Jeremy Strong's performance this year was like maybe one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen. And like, that last episode where he turns and you don't even know if it's like actually orchestrated by Brian Cox or if Brian Cox is just like proud of him.
Yeah.
Just
smile is
so much stuff this year, like the multi-levels of like safe rooms for like it's all about like hierarchy and Greg, you know, in front of Congress and
God.
Be said to be so, then let it be so, sir. Say it so. can't break, can't make an omelet without breaking a few Gregs. And even Tom redeemed himself. Tom, who I like practically break out in hives when I see him on screen, like, cause he's so gross, and Roman and Jerry and just, mm-hmm. oh God, all of it. It's so good. I like every Sunday it was my like tonight's Succession. Yes. And I was so sad when it ended. Yeah. Like, I cannot wait for it to come back. So good. And yes, these are absolutely like morally reprehensible assholes who, it makes you feel so much for these people who feel so little, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it taught me about hyper decanting, which I cannot sure. drink a bottle of two buck chuck without pouring it into my Vitamix.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like there's probably a ton more to say about Succession.
I will also say, just to get back to Below Deck for a minute.
Yeah, please.
That, like, so we've watched two seasons now, the Mycena season and also the Valor season, which are two mega yachts that
I know them, yeah. please.
but like when you start watching this after having watched Succession, which is when we got into Below Deck.
That is such a weird day to be.
Then I was yeah, because after that, I was like, I need more super yacht content. But when you see these super yachts compared to the super yacht on Succession, you're like, that's a shithole. Like, I wouldn't stay there. And my husband and I
live. Wait, the ones on Below Deck?
Yeah.
Or the one on,
okay. And of course, they are like beautiful, multi-level, like hundreds of feet, like gorgeous ships that you would be lucky to spend any time on. Oh. They charter for like $20,000 a day. And I was like, okay, so that's 4 couples, $5,000 a day each. Like, doesn't seem that
out. Big birthday coming up this year.
Doesn't seem that out of bounds for some reason. That is what Succession has done to me.
I'm glad to know your attitude on this, Leah, because yeah. I have been wondering what to do for my next birthday.
I'm telling you, I will absolutely cruise around the Adriatic Sea.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Dealing with the interpersonal lives of the crew below deck.
Oh, you're going to be below deck trying to get on a reality show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, Succession, just appointment viewing for me this year. I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah. Okay. So where are we? That was your number two. That was your number two. Yeah. Okay.
Euphoria was your number three, right?
That's right.
So
yeah.
You're on number two.
All right. My number two is Barry, which we've said all that needs to be said about Barry, but I thought it's so funny. Yeah, as you said, the questions it asks about identity and mm-hmm. what it means to be a good person. And I love seeing Barry's like journey to try to tell his story in an emotionally honest, if not factually honest way, kind of mirrored by, what's his girlfriend's name? Sally's, her attempt to tell a story that's not even emotionally honest, but like, it's amazing. Her acting is amazing.
Yeah.
Their interplay on stage when he was like playing her abusive ex-husband, like the shadow of his PTSD hangs over mm-hmm. all of this. I thought he was going to kill her
on
stage.
Yeah.
It was maybe the most intense scene I've seen on television. And yeah, even if Bill Hader weren't in the show, like if NoHo Hank was the star of the show, it would still be the greatest gift.
You alerted me this week that NoHo Hank is in the Bill and Ted movie. Yes. As if I couldn't, like, I mean, did they market it directly to us? It's amazing.
I do feel like the algorithm is, we're all like living in the reality that we create via our social media interaction, and I do think maybe that I'm the audience for Bill and Ted 3, and I would like to thank Keanu Reeves for bringing some A-list power to my to my curated existence.
And NoHo Hank.
Yeah, NoHo Hank. Yeah, it looks good. I read a long,
I would like to thank Keanu Reeves just briefly for being an apparently unproblematic fave.
Like, yeah, knock on wood.
Yeah, seriously, knock on everything. Keanu Reeves, his star turn, the absolute highlight of that Ali Wong, Randall mm-hmm. Park movie, whatever
Won't
it was
you be
called.
My maybe?
Yeah, just truly, truly outstanding. Really,
Keanu Reeves is the GOAT. And
he is.
I don't like to brag, but I been there record since day one. As a Keanu Reeves stan before the word stan meant anything, like by maybe 20 years.
So. Yeah. Barry is a true like tour de force. And
oh, right. We were talking about Barry. Yeah. Barry who?
But again, guest starring Keanu Reeves next season. But again, like he could be an acting teacher.
That is an incredible idea.
Get at us, hater. But again, one of the things that I appreciate so much about Barry is when I saw the previews for it, I was like, I'm very bitter that they are making this fucking knockoff Gross Point Blank ripoff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, that is not for me. And that's not at all what it is. It's like this very, like surprisingly deep and yet hilarious show. And it's just different. Like, it's really nice to see something that is not another like procedural that like has all the same beats. It's just, it's like truly original content. And I don't know what the fuck Bill Hader has dealt with in his life. I don't know how dark his divorce went, but like that man and Alex, whoever the guy is that he writes it with. I can't remember his name. Is it Alec Berg? It is Alec Berg, I think. Or am I just conflating Alec Berg and Peter Berg?
I don't know. All the names that like roll at the end of HBO shows are just like in a big pile for
me. Well, Barry is one of those shows that after every episode, I actually stay and watch Bill Hader and Alec Berg, I think, talk about it every week. Because I think it's like it's informative to see what their intent was. Mm-hmm. It succeeds on so many levels. It's great.
Yeah, if you're not watching Barry, you need to get on that. All right, should we do a song before we get to our number one?
Yeah, let's do a song before the big
reveal. So we kicked off with a Lizzo song, Truth Hurts, which was your most listened to song of the year or just your pick for fave?
It was my pick for fave. It was not my most listened to.
Okay.
I don't trust my Spotify algorithm. I think it's giving me some bad info.
All right, this was one of my most listened to songs of the year. It wouldn't be if I can get my fucking iTunes to work.
And also, if you guys had a favorite show this year, we would love to hear what it was. Feel free to tweet it at us. We're at BFF TV on the radio. We'd love to hear your top pick for 2019. And then when we come back, we'll unveil.
Big reveal. Yes. And then I think we'll probably have some time to talk about the many, many, many runners-up.
Yes,
and
that is.
Honorable mentions that were very difficult for me to excise from my top five.
Yes.
But this is Deer Hunter, No One's Sleeping. Stay tuned, we'll be back with more TV on the radio.
This much duress, violence is taking hold. Follow me.
to BFF.fm, you're joining more than 800 of your friends and neighbors who also believe in the power of community radio to bring people together. So make your gift today at BFF.fm/donate.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.
All right. Welcome back to TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. All right, Leah, are you ready for the big reveal?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I had a pretty solid guess for yours.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a surprise to anyone who met me or talked to me at all this year, but my number one show for 2019 was the Hallmark classic, the Ho 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 for the Holidays for the Troops. jingle all the way. No. My number one pick, as I said, I don't think it's going to be a surprise for anyone, but it was Fleabag. And yay. I can't even like eloquently explain how like moving I found season two of Fleabag.
Getting that one.
Just no, as you mentioned, like, this year, these past few years have been dark and shitty, and, like, there's been a lot that has, like, been really hard for so many people, and not even me personally. Like, I am extraordinarily privileged. Like, I have a really happy, like, lucky life, but I think that, like, the thing about Fleabag that really, really got me was, like, just this, like, arc of, like, how people can change and be better mm-hmm. and, like, how just, I don't know. I need a minute here.
We're going to go to another song.
I should just read my notes about what I liked about Fleabag. I think, again, like, we talked about how all these British shows do such a great job at, like, conveying, like, so much meaning in a very, very short, condensed mm-hmm. way. And I feel like making Hot Priest a priest and having like this season, like season one of Fleabag was about this asshole basically who's like indulging in all these self-destructive behaviors because she doesn't know a way to get past her guilt about like the trauma she's inflicted on herself and other people. Mm-hmm. And season two is about her literally the very first scene is her like, you know, when you've tried this and you've tried this and you see her working out and you see her eating right and then you see her exercising and then like all the and you've tried this and you've tried this and like nothing seems to work. And the central message for me or like the thing I took away is that what works is like opening yourself up to like people and being mm-hmm. vulnerable and like letting love in. And I think having like her love object be a priest who's having this like central dilemma about like, do I choose God or choose love? And like, it really like was almost a religious thing for me where I was like, oh, it's all the same. Like, aww. I get it. Like Phoebe Waller, like conveyed to me that like love is God and like mm-hmm. all these other people and
Jesus, you're gonna make me cry.
No, I just like, I think it just conveyed this like, it touched on this really like human thing and mm-hmm. and also the thing about like you have to try to get better.
Yeah.
You can't just like wallow in being an asshole, which it's very easy to fall into like the cynical fuck everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, this show like really just totally touched something. Yeah. Very deep inside. I was not expecting to cry about it because also this show does so many things well, which is like that very British, very restrained humor, like yeah. about like, I look like a pencil.
And yeah.
Like, hair is everything. Like some of these iconic speeches, yeah. like that aren't even her coming clean about like all of her deepest fears and like literally confessing.
Yeah.
Like things she's scared of and like vulnerability and the fox and all of it. It was just perfect.
Yeah. Who would have guessed that you would be crying about a show with Brett Gelman in it?
Oh, my God. Yes. I mean, tears of happiness that they finally broke up at the end of the show. It ended. It all resolved perfectly. But, yeah, I just it really like. Not to be super pretentious, but I was like, this is like what art should do.
Yeah.
Like it's. Yeah, it's it's really very important to me, you guys. I loved it. You should all watch it. Everybody who has met me this year, I have like evangelized to about Fleabag. Mm-hmm. Not that this little unheard of show. I mean, it's obviously become like it's a phenomenon and everyone's aware of it, but
well, still in really, this media landscape, I mean, yeah, even things that are quote unquote phenomenons don't necessarily break through to,
yeah, it just really like them. Yeah, it really was truly an outstanding feat, and I can't wait to see like everything else Phoebe Waller does. I truly think that she is a genius, also being held back by being in a relationship with not great men, but like whatever.
She dating
the Martin McDonagh or whatever the Three Billboards guy is.
Oh, okay.
He's Irish. That's the only thing he has going for him. But anyway, yeah, I really, like, it felt like a balm to my soul. Aww. Seeing that show. I just thought it was, like, really beautiful. And, yeah, in these, you know, shitty times, it's nice to have reminders that, like, there's things out there that are worthwhile, and like, yeah, it's all about other people, you know. That's a show about love, not just romantic love, but mm-hmm, yeah, and also like technically just the absolute genius of like the way they did break the fourth wall, and yeah, like the way that resolved in this show, and like this arc about this character, like we all want to be seen and understood, and like, yeah, having somebody see her, like, you know,
right,
sort of healed her, or at least made her move on. It was, yeah, great. Yeah,
you're right. It was,
I was great. Super into it.
Well, in what I think is kind of a similar vein, my number one show of the year was Russian Doll, which we've talked about. But I thought it was similar. Like, it was so complicated and layered, mm-hmm, and it had, you know, there were elements of Greek mythology. There were many, many animal metaphors that I made you yes, explain to me when we talked about, yeah, the show. There was this weird, like, video game quality to it, mm-hmm, where her world is getting less and less detailed every time she comes back from death, and, like, some of the characters become, like, non-playable characters, mm-hmm, and can only interact in very limited ways. But then, ultimately, it was a story about just two people who were lost finding each other, yeah, and it really is just about human connection, and yeah, I just thought it was so beautiful, yeah, and extremely funny. There was an element, I can't quite verbalize it, but there was something about like the destruction of the art world, mm-hmm, by capitalism, and that, I don't know, that played a role, and there was this whole callback to, what was the
protest in
thing?
St. Yeah. Mark's Square or something about, yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'm not doing a good job of explaining it, but that what I loved about the show is it's enjoyable on like a almost surface level.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was a fun watch. It's extremely funny. The acting was really good, but like, you can really think endlessly about the show. It was so brilliantly conceived. Yeah, I just loved it so much.
Yeah.
Natasha Lyonne is so compelling. The guy who played Alan was he was great to watch. He was very sad, and
yeah, he really was. He really, really was. Yeah. Yeah, like that was, yeah, it was so good. And I mean, for a show from, you know, January, early in January, mm-hmm, to stick with both of us throughout the year,
yeah,
is, yeah. I can't wait for the next season, which is coming back soon, I think, right?
I have no idea. I heard, initially, when it came out and I was reading about it, I heard it was conceived as a 3-season story. So I presume it's, you know, it's definitely popular. I presume it's going to fulfill that prophecy. But yeah, I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
Sweet Birthday Baby.
Yeah.
That just rings through my head all, yep, year long. Every time I buy like Broccoli Rob and it says Baby Broccoli on it, in my mind it's Sweet Baby Broccoli.
All right.
So, yeah, talk about a legacy, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Natasha Lyonne, your work here is done.
Yeah.
Except
for the other 2 seasons.
Yeah. It was really, right. Oh, God, it makes me want to go home and like rewatch Russian Doll.
I think now that show would totally stand up to rewatching multiple times.
Definitely.
That was 80% overlap for us, right?
Yes.
The same.
Both of our
Russian Doll,
number
Barry,
fives
Succession
were
and Fleabag.
Both of our number fives were the other person's number one.
Wow. glitch in the matrix.
Yeah. Well, what are some of your honorable mentions? Because there was,
I have so many.
I have so many as well. Dead to Me.
That's on my list.
Very,
yeah.
Very close to making my list. Taking the other tack about how like the world is shitty, I derived such joy from seeing like a woman's righteous fury conveyed in like an unapologetic way.
Yeah,
like, Christina Applegate was amazing in that. Linda Cardellini's like soft naivety just really like offset it, and I've never been more glad to see James Marsden dead than I was at the end of that show. I was truly
was
just
awful.
Thrilled by it. And just
but like, I would also probably go back to my asshole boyfriend if he looked like James Marsden.
And just, it's a show about like also, you know, like female friendship, mm-hmm. and like the sort of, not always obviously, but like the visceral way that like women can understand you through like the shared experience of being a woman in the world, like,
yeah.
And yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. Euphoria, I totally loved. I also really loved Sex Education.
Yeah, that was on my list too.
That was
such a good show.
I actually put on my like list, I put down Sex Education was like utterly charming and a like very hopeful glimpse into like the kids being all right, because, you know, there's like no toxic masculinity,
yeah.
and like they're just. And then, like, after that, I was like, oh, the absolute opposite of the kids being all right was Euphoria, which was, like, really, really beautiful, but kind of, like, bleak and
yeah.
harrowing.
I still think Glow is
yeah.
such a strong show.
I have not even finished season 3, which I'm shocked
great.
By, because I love Glow.
I think each season has really built on itself.
Yeah.
And season, I mean, the show is great. It was on my top list.
Last,
first two
yeah.
seasons, and
yeah.
I narrowly missed this year, mm-hmm. but season 3 was amazing. Again, Marc Maron, just the pathos of that character.
Yeah.
He's so great.
Just a note on Sex Education, mm-hmm. the Gillian Anderson, Asa Butterfield show.
Yeah.
That is coming back on January 19th of 2020.
Oh, good.
For season 2. And something else that made my best of, not made my best of, but was an honorable mention for me, because it can't all be like, I don't know, it can't all be something that like teaches you something about life or whatever. I thoroughly enjoyed You, the Netflix stalker
uh-huh.
drama, which is the natural conclusion of Dan Humphrey's Gossip Girl plotline. But I also...
That's coming back.
That is coming back on the 26th. I'm so excited. But I also like, I feel like that show belied a secret like, sort of depth that you don't really get just from like the popcorny like
mm-hmm.
you know sex takes. I thought it like had some interesting things to say about like power and men and women and just all of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I read that the second book in the series Hidden Bodies, which season 2 is loosely based on. And I read it and like I took it to a hair appointment and read it in like 4 hours. It's just like easy breezy,
yeah.
like, and yeah, you find yourself drawn to this like super psychopath, just like real life, you know?
Yeah.
So that was one for me. Also, I thought that Surviving R. Kelly and Finding
oh,
Neverland.
Yeah. I have a whole list. This was an incredible year for documentaries.
Yeah. Truly just.
This year gave us the Battle of the Firefest documentary.
Oh my God. And The Innovator, Out for Blood in Silicon
mm-hmm.
Valley.
Lorena
was really great.
And standing in a category of its own, Homecoming is maybe one of the best things I watched
oh, yeah.
this year. Just, I.
That's a show I instantly burst. Not a show, but that I. Instantly
Beyonce's
cried
Homecoming,
like
to be clear,
five,
not the
show,
Amazon.
Showtime
or whatever, the Julia Roberts.
Oh, that yeah, that's Homecoming right. Too, I was right? thinking of the, what am I thinking of? Homeland is what I was thinking.
Mm.
Yeah, that's another one. Like I burst into tears like within the first 5 minutes of Homecoming. I thought it was
me too.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
like,
it
yeah.
was so emotionally affecting. I didn't expect that. Not that I had low expectations for Beyonce, but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like I thought I was going to be watching a concert video, and somehow it was so much more than that. Like such an incredible celebration.
Yeah.
I would like to thank the Hulu show Special for
uh-huh.
being delightful, but more so for introducing me to Brian Jordan Alvarez, which gave way to me discovering The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo, which I could have maybe put on my top five, but I don't think it was really from this year. But do yourself a favor and go to YouTube and watch The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo, which is so fresh and interesting. Like, I don't want to sell it short by identifying it as low budget, but it is definitely a shoestring television that made the most of itself. And
that guy
introduced
me
to Freckle.
Busy Phillips introduced me to Freckle.
Okay, so you've been on the hot Freckle too.
I've been on that. Yes, I have. Also, categories of old friends we said goodbye to this year. Catastrophe Season 4. Yeah. Casual Season 5, I believe.
Something like that. Yeah.
Both ended, like, I will miss both those shows.
Yeah.
I loved the way Catastrophe ended. I thought it was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that show as a whole, like, is just such a well-done portrait of the absolute hell of trying to make a life with someone and also the, like, very real joy in that. And, I thought it was amazing. And Casual, again, like, the algorithm really was serving me some, like, the last Super Bowl episode. I was like, Casual's, like, set just far enough in the future that all this shit that I'm, like, that I hate is now dealt with, you know? Like, I just, I loved both of those kind of, like, quiet shows. But I was also extraordinarily happy for the welcome for the return of Veronica Mars.
Same. That's on my list for Shirtless Logan.
Yes.
Yeah. That was, if not a great show, like, truly enjoyable.
Yeah.
I thought. I've heard mixed feelings about it, but I thought it really recaptured the spirit of the original show in a way that the film sort of lost in the in the interim. It was funny. Kristen Bell is just a delight to watch on screen. I thought it was really fun. I like that it sort of, I don't know, it retained like a noir quality while also like enjoying the sort of beach setting of Neptune in a way the show didn't as much. It was super fun.
Yeah.
What else? I already mentioned Glow. I mean, Peaky Blinders. Again, as I've said, I don't know if it's a good show or I'm just completely dazzled by their gypsy powers, but it is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a good show.
Yeah.
It's just this season I thought was incredible.
Yeah.
The fucking Nazi element that they introduced was.
Yeah. Just. For Peaky Blinders to be as far into its run and to remain as compelling as it does is, it's obviously, it's a very, very good show.
Yeah.
And anything that has, like, you know, 3 minutes of Tom Hardy in it is eclipsing everybody else.
Yeah.
Even Cillian Murphy's smoke show.
Oh, my God.
Like, he has never looked better than this season. But, yeah, it's good. It's real good.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be as aesthetically beautiful as it is.
Yeah.
But God, the number of times that, like, you just see his crystal blue eyes through his, you know, pony eyelashes. It's
really something.
Aunt Polly's wardrobe. Oh, my God.
Also, obviously, our lists are extraordinarily subjective. But I feel like there's amazing stuff that I'm not even watching.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I never went back to The Handmaid's Tale. I haven't watched any of The Good Place for like 2 seasons now. I fell off that, but people really love it. And there's a lot of good content out there, guys.
Yeah.
Gives me hope.
Well,
not really. wouldn't go that far, but.
Yeah, let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, 2019 was a great year for television.
Yep.
I hope television stays good, because what else do we
Well, do? When we're down to one state-run channel, we'll see. But I don't know. Maybe our Netflix overlords will save us all. I haven't seen anything from Apple Plus either. My dopey old-ass version of Roku won't.
That's why you can't subscribe to Apple Plus.
I can't. I mean, I could do it on my computer, I guess. But I do want to see The Morning Show.
I've heard very mixed things about that.
I have too. It seems right.
I can't say that I want to see The Mandalorian, but I feel like I have to.
Oh, I feel like I have seen The Mandalorian. If I never see Baby Yoda again, it's going to be too soon.
You guys, Baby Yoda's not that exciting, no, okay?
Right? Baby Yoda's
give me a
fine fucking
break. All right. Well, my top album of the year was, speaking of Beyonce, was Homecoming, mm-hmm. the live album. So I'm going to close with a track from that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Next week, we're going to count down our top shows of the decade.
Ugh,
if this was
so
difficult,
hard.
I don't know how we're going to get that done.
Yep.
But
real Sophie's choice.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate every iota of listener input that you guys send to us. Yeah, we truly appreciate you. We hope you'll keep listening in 2020, assuming we don't get kicked off the station.
And I mean, BFF is just an amazing resource for the community. And we've been doing this now for 5 years. And yes, I am grateful that we get to do this every week.
Truly.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, you guys. We will see you next week with more TV on the radio. Stay tuned for Indie Rock Girl Radio.
Can't you see the glow on the window pane? And I can feel the stars whenever you're near. Every time you touch me, I just melt away.